We're going to talk about church hurt. So have you guys heard of the phrase? This is a phrase, church hurt. Have you heard of this before? Yes? Where did you hear it from? What's the source? Did you hear it from on like social media or YouTube or someone talk to you about it? Who? Alyssa? Who's Alyssa? Who's that? Is that someone in here or is that some celebrity superstar? Yeah. I know. We all know she's a superstar. That's right. So you heard about church hurt. That's good. You probably are aware, if you're on there, there's a lot of noise on social media right now about church hurt. Matter of fact, there's connected to the subject of church hurt, there's a movement called the deconstructionist. Anybody ever heard of that? Raise your hand if you've heard of deconstruction. So, really? You've heard of deconstruction? Where'd you guys hear about it? What's your source? Josh Harris? Yeah. What'd you say? They were tearing down what? Oh, sent them to dinner. All right, so just so you know, like we talked about gender last night, there is a movement in America of deconstructionists, and these are people who were involved with the church or know people who are involved in the church, and they consider it their mission to kind of deliver people from the church because they consider the church to be an institution that hurts people. So their sole job in the world is to comfort these people who were once in the church, who got hurt by the church, to build them back up and heal them up and make them realize that, yeah, the church is this bad thing and they had a horrible experience. This is kind of their thing. And they have, you know, there's all different types of people. And there's one guy I followed for a year just to figure out what he was doing and saying. And then after a while, it's like, dude, it's the same stuff from 80 different angles. It's kind of the same thing. So we're going to talk about church hurt because, remember, one of the purposes of this is kind of metamorphosis, and that's really to get you to think and not to believe what I believe, but to really get you to think about this subject of church hurt like we're doing about gender, and then tonight like we're going to do about mental health, right? Get you to think about this. So, but as we get into church hurt, the first thing we need to do is realize that some people have really been hurt by the church, like seriously, not just today and yesterday and this year or last year, but historically, sometimes the church has really hurt people. You guys agree with that? Yeah, sometimes the church has really hurt people, right? Sometimes the church has been on the wrong side of history, the wrong side of the law, the wrong side of like racism, the wrong side of many battles. The church has really hurt people and hasn't really stood the test and done what was right. And it's either directly or indirectly hurt people. And so if there's anyone in this room who's been hurt by the church, or anyone in this room who has parents or brothers or sisters or aunts or uncles or cousins or any other people that you know have been hurt by the church, the disposition of us in the church should be, we're sorry. Like, we should be like, we're sorry. Because we who are in the church, we don't ever want to hurt people, right? We don't want to hurt people. We want to help people. We want to bless people. We want to love people. We don't hurt people. But sometimes, because imperfect people go to church, we end up hurting people. So we want to make sure that we say that. Also, what we would say is some churches are like, they're really bad. And, you know, I used to say something when I pastored Freedom Church in Baltimore, the church I helped to start. I used to tell our church that if our church ever got in a position where there was systemic harm going on, meaning there was harm going on and it was being protected by people or systems, I would burn the building down. Like, seriously. I think every church that is committed to hurting people, whether it's molestation or anything like that, and then they have people, that we should burn those buildings down. It's worth to go to jail over. If a building's purpose is now to hurt people, that building doesn't have a righteous purpose anymore. So my people thought I was crazy, just like you're looking at me like, you're nuts. But I used to tell them that. And they said, you're the pastor. I said, yeah, I'll be the first to burn it down. Like, I'll get a group of us and we'll just burn it down. That way you can't use a building anymore. You might still hurt people, but you won't do it with a building. And what that says is, like, we need to really be committed as a church to not hurt people. Really. We may hurt people, but we need to be really committed to not hurt people. And never should the church be a place where hurting people on a regular, systemic, continual, habitual basis becomes acceptable. The last thing I'll say about this is that churches, when they hurt people, they should do exactly what we should do when we hurt people. What should an individual do when they find out that they've hurt someone? What should they do? Yeah. They should apologize, ask for forgiveness, and see if they can make it right, right? It's called reconciliation, restitution, right? Churches should do the same thing. They should be repenting and apologizing, right? And unfortunately, we don't often have that. Unfortunately, you may go to church for a long time and never really hear like an apology, especially if the church is wrong. And that's not what we need, right? We need that. And my hope is that generations like yours will actually contribute to some of the righteousness that I'm talking about, okay? All right, next, defining church hurt. Oh, go back. All right, so what is church hurt? So when we talk about church hurt, we can look at it in three words. There's three ways. There's indirect hurt. Anybody ever heard of a rapper named Lil Nas? Or actually his name is not Lil. That's an old guy saying this. His name is Lil Nas. You know Lil Nas? He's a guy with a cowboy hat, and then he came out later this year, like, I'm fully trans, and he's got several gender identities going. And when he came out, he made, like, an Instagram Twitter post, and his Instagram Twitter post was basically saying, I grew up in the church, and the church hurt me, and the church told me that if I was gay, I was going to hell, and they hurt me. I'm summing up his post. And so now that's why he did this whole video mocking heaven, hell, the devil, the Bible, all this type of stuff. It's kind of like, you hurt me, now I'm coming back at you, all right? If you're wondering, it's not worth you looking up on YouTube. It's trash. It's not really that great. But the church sometimes indirectly hurts people, but the indirect hurt comes sometimes from the church's positions. For example, the church, I'm talking about the real church, believes in something called the Ten Commandments. Can someone name one of the Ten Commandments? What'd you say? Okay, do not lie, okay? So, yeah, you shall not lie. Okay, so the church believes that. Now, there could be somebody in the church who gets caught lying and they feel really bad and then they say, I feel like I'm being judged. I thought you said we were all messed up. And the church or a person in the church says, yeah, but I caught you in a lie. And so that person leaves the church, goes on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, or TikTok or whatever, and says, yeah, you know, and they don't understand, and I lied, but there's liars in there, and so now they're saying they're hurt. But, like, did the church really hurt them? Like, really? Is that what happened? I want you to think. Did the church really? So they're part of the church. They know the church believes you shall not lie. And they lied. So now they're saying the church hurt. Like, what is exactly going on? That's like going to the doctor and knowing you're going to get a shot, and then you get your shot, and then you leave, and you go on social media and go, the doctor hurt me. What are we talking about here? You knew you was going to get your booster shot. You knew you were going to get your COVID shot. You knew you were going to, like, it hurts. Like, that's what doctors do. You know what I mean? Like that's what happens. So indirect hurt comes when the church is just being the church. It's what they do. All right, direct hurt sometimes comes from the church from individuals. Now, individuals can, like, they can hurt you, right? Individuals can hurt you. Individuals can sin against you. They can gossip. They can do all these types of things. But there's a third type of hurt, and that's corporate hurt. That's when the whole church or a large percentage of the church does something collectively against you. Something collectively against you, okay? And that's bad. That's horrible. And unfortunately, the first one has never been my issue because I'm actually happy when the church gets in my business when I'm wrong, because I don't want to be wrong. I want to be right with God. And sometimes the church has to confront me. And definitely, if you go to church and you for any amount of time, the one thing I can guarantee that's going to happen is at some point someone will sin against you. That's going to happen. But what I hope never happens is I hope a whole body of people in the church never sin against you collectively, because that's really wicked and evil, and that's really harmful and really hard to overcome and really hard to build back trust. But every now and then that happens. So when we talk about church hurt, we are talking about church hurt from several sources. All right, next slide. All right, so I just gave you the causes of church hurt. Can you guys think of any other places where church hurt could come from? It could come from individuals. It can come from the whole church. It could come from the church's beliefs. Where else? Yeah, some people feel like God hurts. And how does that work? I love that. You know, well, can you guys think of anybody in the Bible who felt like God, like, hurt them? Job. And what was Job's thing? Why did he feel like God hurt him? Okay, good. So that could be another. Did you have your hand up? Or you're just adjusting your lid? All right, keeping it fly. I got it. All right, so any other places where you could think about where church hurt could come from? We pretty much summed it up, huh? Individuals and groups. All right, next slide. All right, so I think there's a verse here, right? All right, so actually in the New Testament, there was a guy, and he was in a church, and he was saved, and he started having sex with his father's wife. So it was like scandalous, right? The church, and you can read about this if you want in 1 Corinthians chapter 5. That's why I said people don't really be reading the Bible. I don't know what they be reading, but they ain't reading the Bible. Because the Bible's got some scandal in it, some scandal. 1 Corinthians 5, so the church, rather than confront the issue, they were like, we're just going to be loving. Does that sound familiar? We're going to be affirming. Does that sound familiar? We're not going to be judgment. Does that sound familiar? We're just going to accept. Does that sound familiar? So what Paul did is he wrote them a letter in part, and he addresses this issue in 1 Corinthians chapter 5, and he says, that's wrong. You guys need to confront them and get them to stop doing that. It's not good. A little leaven leavens a whole lump. It's counterproductive, it's not Christian, it's unethical, there's a thousand things wrong with it. So then the church went from, we're loving, we're accepting, we're not judgmental, we're so free, come to our church, we're awesome, we don't hurt anyone. Then they went all the way over here and they were like hammering this guy. So look what it says. If anyone has caused grief, he has not so much grieved me as he has grieved all of you to some extent. Not to put it too severely, the punishment inflicted on him by the majority is what? Sufficient. Now instead, you ought to forgive and what? Comfort him. Why? So that he will not be overwhelmed by excessive sorrow. So at first, the church was like, we're just going to be loving. We're not a judgmental church. Whatever you want to do. Yeah, you want to like break up a marriage and have sex openly and sit in the church with like complete chaos. Yeah, well, yeah, praise God. Yeah. To whoom, and now they're like, we're not talking to him, we're not, ah, and Paul says, that's an extreme, and if you keep it up, you're going to overwhelm him with excessive sorrow. So we see here that one position is exaggerated by quote-unquote being overly kind and gracious, which those are probably the wrong terms to use, and then another position is too severe, right? But this is an example of a man who Paul says, I think you guys have now gone too far. Well, the good news is, this is 2 Corinthians chapter 2. The good news is that as you continue to read 2 Corinthians, they got it right. They got back where they needed to be, where they were able to speak the truth, love the man, and they actually saw the man repent and be reconciled to the church and to all the parties, and it was all good. An amazing thing. By the way, this scenario in 1 Corinthians and 2 Corinthians, when it happens in the church today, basically what happens is 5 out of 10 churches would completely implode and be destroyed. Now you have 5 churches left, right? Because 5 will just be destroyed, I mean nuked, gone. The 5 that are left, you probably are going to have 3 of those churches will split. There'll be 2 churches now. And then out of the two churches that are there, one of them will remain and slowly die a slow death over 10, 20, 30 years, depending on how much money they have in the bank or how resilient the rich members are. And then you might, maybe, probably not have one that recovers. That's where we are today. This church recovered from all stance, right? So the man and his sin actually hurt the church, and then the church hurt him, but they were able to recover. All right, what's next? Okay, so I don't know if you've thought about this, but who does the church belong to? The church belongs to Jesus, right? Okay, so do we ever hurt Jesus? All right, so when the church sins, they not only sin against one another, but sometimes they sin against God. So if we sin against Jesus, is Jesus' posture cancel? No. We know he's patient, forgiven. Remember, we read this. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins, cleanse us of all unrighteousness. What's interesting about this is we typically only think about church hurt horizontally and not vertically, but we need to kind of entertain the vertical, because what I want to say is that any hurt that goes on in the church is ultimately and always something that's going to be vertical, because it's his church. So when I go in the church and I sin against someone, I'm sin against someone that's in the church that Jesus brought in the church, that's his guest and his family member. That's what I'm doing, right? But the posture of Christ is one that's very different than we can often find in our postures, which is not ultimate cancellation, but one of reconciliation and repentance, and let's make this right. But I wanted to throw that out there. When we talk about church hurt, Jesus is typically the person who gets left out of this discussion. We talk about, oh, I was hurt in church, or the church hurt me, or the church is doing this and the church is doing that, and Jesus is nowhere present. But yet Jesus said, I will build my church. And Jesus has talked about how he would die for his church, and that he's the king of the church, and that he's coming back for his church, and he's building a place for his church and all the people in his church, and people are being saved and coming in his church, and he's commissioned his church. It's all about his church. And so in this conversation of church hurt, Jesus needs to be front and center. All right, next slide. All right, so what should you do with church hurt? Okay, so if and when you experience church hurt, which is, it's going to happen, there's some things you should do, and there's some things you shouldn't do. There's some things you should do, and there's some things you shouldn't do. Some things you should do is, one, and I know people get weird about this, is like, you should expect church hurt. Why should you expect church hurt? Yeah. Does that excuse the hurt? No, it explains the hurt. There's a difference between an excuse and an explanation, right? An excuse is what Adam said, the woman you gave me, right? An explanation is, if imperfect people are in the church, there is a high probability that if you traffic in the church, you're going to be hurt. By the way, are any of you attached to any other organizations other than the church? Like, what organizations are you attached to? Schools. Well, Christian schools are perfect. You never get hurt there. What are you laughing about? There's no drama in Christian schools. They're Christian schools. It's where all the Christians go. None of the bad kids go there. There's no gossip, and nothing bad happens at Christian schools. Right? Wrong. What's another organization or institution you guys are a part of? School? Church? What else? Sports teams. Well, you're so devoted to sports, nothing ever bad happens on a sports team, right? Right? Wait, so you experience hurt at church, hurt at school, hurt on a sports team. What other institution are you a part of? Family. Well, nothing bad ever happens in families. Okay, that's four. What other institution are you involved in? Jobs. Work is perfect, dude. That never happens at jobs, right? Oh, so you can get hurt at jobs, too. What other institution might you be involved with? friendships. What about government? Yeah. You're all involved in government, right? Whether you like it or not. Now, the government never hurts us, right? They always do what's right, right? They always make great decisions, right? They never make a decision that hurts people, right? Never. Okay, so is there a place that a human being can go to and join an organization and be a part of that organization and be 100% assured that they'll never experience hurt? How about a hospital? You got trained professionals, people study for 8, 12, 14, 16 years, surgeons, doctors. You never get hurt in the hospital, right? So recently I took my daughter to the hospital because there were some things going on, and she was going to get her COVID shot because we were all getting vaccinated. And so she decided to get her COVID shot. She got the Johnson & Johnson, and the guy came in, and he was a brand new nurse. Yeah, exactly. Oh, no. Not experienced. And, dude, he took the needle. He was like, and she was like, ow. She's like, is this supposed to hurt like that? I was like, nah, he went way to town on that joint. He was like, you getting all this vaccine. That mother was like, ah. It was like a slam dunk, you know, ah, you know. I'm like, yeah, that was a little rough. I videoed it, too, so. I did. I got it on video, and I was like, you know what? Let's just keep this on video. You know what I mean? And so I was like, yeah, this is crazy. Like, so think about it. I don't know if you know this, but I don't want to freak you out too much. But like, some people go to the hospital healthy, and they die in the hospital. You know what I mean? Like, sometimes people go to get surgeries to help them, and the surgery goes south, and that's why. Like, whenever you go to a surgery, you have to sign this like disclaimer. So they're going to put you under. It doesn't matter what it is, because sometimes they give you too much medicine or whatever and you die. Like, so what we're saying is there is no place that you can go on earth. There's no organization, no institution. There is no address. There's nothing you can put in your Waze or your Google directions that's going to take you anywhere. Even great places like Krispy Kreme donuts, when the light is on, you can still get hurt in there. That's how you know. That should make you believe in total depravity. Well, God says, the world has to be fallen if you get hurt in a Krispy Kreme when the light is on. It's crazy. So bad, right? So I get hurt every time I go into a 7-Eleven or I go into a grocery store and I go to get my Reese's and the Reese's ain't fresh. That hurts me. But the big picture is that you can be hurt anywhere, can't you? So I want to ask you a question. So where did we get the idea that church is a place where you are not going to be hurt? Where did that idea come from? Who told you or us or people that you would go to church for 20, 30, 40, 50, 60, 70 years and you would never be hurt? Who told you that? You didn't get that from the Bible. God didn't tell you that. So who's telling people this? Who's telling people that the church is a place that shouldn't ever or shouldn't ever hurt people? And if it does, it's not the church. Who told people that? You got an idea? Huh? Maybe some churches. Maybe there's some churches that are like holy rollers and they claim they don't sin. There are a few churches like that. Steer real clear of them, right? Maybe Satan would say something like that. What were you going to say? Yeah. Satan would say something like that because it's an impossible situation, right? The church is a place that should never hurt you. If you go to the church, since the church does hurt you, don't go to church. It's a great thing to keep you away from church. But it's like illogical. It's like sins in the world. Does it justify church hurt? No. But it explains it. You need to think. So many people online, prominent people online, what they're saying, and they're targeting you guys. You may not know it. You may have felt it. But they're targeting you. They want to get you. If you're going to church, they want to get you. And if you're young, they want to get you. They've written off old people. They're like, oh, they don't listen. They're hard, and they're not sensitive. They're not loving. They're judgmental. But they're going after the young kids, and they say, you know what? Here's our premise. Church should be a perfect place. Church isn't a perfect place, therefore you shouldn't go. If you simply take their logic and say, can we apply that to everywhere else? Right? The gym should be a perfect place. Since it's not a perfect place, you shouldn't go. The grocery store should be a perfect place. Since it's not a the government, like, what are you going to do? I guess you're going to join like Elon Musk and go to Mars, right? And you're going to take imperfect people to Mars and build this new humanity where things don't go wrong? The common denominator of jacking the earth up is us. The orcas and tigers and even the cicadas, they ain't doing it. We doing it. So if we all go to Mars, you know what we're going to do to Mars? Jack it up. I got a better solution. Why don't we just repent on earth? It's easier. Why we got to go all into space when we can't even live? It's not that hard. Just repent here, keep God's law, love him and love neighbor, and we never have to go to space. We never have to go out there and wear gravity suits and figure all this stuff out. We can do what God kind of told us to do. But hurt is everywhere. It doesn't excuse it, but it explains it. So do not buy the logic ever. Well, church is a place where you get hurt, so and it should be a perfect place, and therefore you shouldn't go. That's nonsensical. And no one who parrots that and says that's good logic, no one lives by that. All those people are deeply embedded in other organizations that are hurting people and doing all these things, and they justify them, and they say, oh, they're great, and you should give money, and you should buy in, and you should join. Right? It doesn't matter if it's LGBTQ+. Oh, it's a great. No, you get hurt in there too. Just get off the narrative and get in all the people who've been hurt by the gay, the lesbian, the trans. Like, anytime you gather people together, there's going to be hurt. That can't be the final determination of why we do what we do. Okay? So, what should you do with hurt? Well, what you should do is you should get healed. You know, there was a saying going around, hurt people hurt people. Here's what happens. You go to church, you get hurt. Now you have a wound, right? You ever had a wound? Right. What happens to a wound if you don't take care of it? It's infected. Then what happens to it? It what? What'd you say? 8 years? Someone said 8 something. Oh, what happens to a wound if it gets, what happens when it gets infected? Yeah, you're like something bad happens, right? It just gets worse and worse and worse. So I want you to think about this. If we can have physical wounds, we can have mental, spiritual, and emotional wounds as well. And sometimes we're a little bit better at taking care of our physical wounds, not so good at taking care of spiritual, mental, and emotional wounds, right? We can develop those. What should you do with church hurt? You should heal. Who's the best healer? God. And God typically creates groups of people that can help you through that process of healing. That's what you should do. What you shouldn't do is run from God, who's the ultimate healer. That's nonsensical, right? And what you shouldn't do is run from the people of God who are willing to pray with you and bear with you and be long-suffering with you and love on you and resource you and come alongside of you. That's what you should do. You shouldn't abandon the very environment that's put here on earth to help you to heal. That's what you should do with church hurt. Now, one of the biggest areas of church hurt is sexuality. It's probably the number one thing. It's the thing that I think people feel most judged by, and if you ask most people if they suffer from church hurt, it's probably going to be the area around the area of sexuality, particularly around the following things. A, marriage. Now, when you look at sexuality from a biblical standpoint and you go to the book of Genesis, it's really clear that before sin came into the world, Adam and Eve were supposed to have sex and enjoy it and make babies. That's in the Bible. They were supposed to be fruitful and multiply. And that couldn't happen by Eve and Adam just looking at each other. Matter of fact, in Genesis chapter 2, in the latter verses, it says, and the two shall become one, right? And that's the culmination of sexuality. At no time do two individuals become one more in a physical standpoint than when they're actually having and engaged in sex. That's true oneness. That's what it's about. So the Bible is unashamedly, at the beginning of the book, sexuality plays a huge role. But it plays a role within another institution called marriage, which God clearly set up. Jesus talks about this in Matthew chapter 19. From the beginning of time, it was so. One man, one woman in marriage. That's God's design. Now, remember what we talked about? Creation, fall, redemption, restoration. What does the fall do with every single thing God created? What does it do? Jacks it up, distorts it, right? And what's the distortion? It's seen in exaggeration and what? Diminishment. So how are you seeing marriage exaggerated today? How is marriage exaggerated? And yes, it's exaggerated. And yes, it's exaggerated in church sometimes. I actually talked about this yesterday a little bit when I told some, I said a statement about marriage. How can marriage be exaggerated? Huh? Hallmark, like movies? Yeah. Can I ask you guys a question? Can you guys be totally honest with me? You guys listen to music, right? You guys listen to music, right? You guys listen to music, like maybe the dudes are like, no. But you guys listen to music like love song stuff, right? You ever like really listen to a long love song? You are my everything. You are my breath. My eyes are on you. My heart beats with you. My veins flow with your love. And you're like, you ever stop and think like, is this real? I mean, I'm not trying to be, you know, Johnny Raincloud on the joint. You know, I've been married 28 years, but I'm just saying, like, some of this stuff is over the top. Like, we don't even write this stuff about God. You know what I mean? It's crazy. Yeah, it's crazy, isn't it? But marriage can be exaggerated in a lot of ways. One of the ways marriage can be exaggerated is we could tell people that you're not really pleasing God unless you're married. Who violates that principle? Yeah, remember the Jesus principle. Anytime someone in church or a theologian or a Christian says something, just bring Jesus into the equation. And if it would condemn Jesus, that's whack. If Jesus is condemned by your theology, you're wrong. If Jesus is condemned by what you say, you always lose against Jesus, right? So marriage can be exaggerated, and people can think, well, and then marriage can be exaggerated by timeline. Oh, you 22, you're not married? What's wrong with you? By the way, in certain nations around the world, 25 is considered old. And if you're not married by 25, it's considered a sociological failure, culturally. This is true. I'm not making this stuff up. This is true. This is science. Facts. All right? But marriage can be exaggerated. But marriage can be diminished as well. How is marriage diminished today? Why get married? Don't have to get married. We can live together, right? A man can marry a man. A woman can marry a woman. I could marry a man and a woman and a dog. And, like, I could be anything I want, right? When we talk about sexuality, now think about this. The church simply takes what the Bible says, male and female and marriage, and people say, I feel judged, I am hurt because I'm not in agreement, the church is hurting me, I'm out, peace out. What are we doing? Like what, huh? I mean, it's your right, especially here in America, you could do that. But the church is just simply holding on to a creed, a doctrine, of marriage. It can be exaggerated and diminished, but that's what it is, right? So fall comes and distorts it. We also know that in this distortion comes all the things we talked about yesterday. We have gender dysphoria and body, all these types of things that happen with that. But still, the Bible is really, really clear about these issues. Now, people in the midst of this, people will get hurt, allegedly, by the church, because the church sometimes holds a position that is counter the world's position. So let me be really frank with you guys, and you just take this for what it's worth, all right? Every single generation has exaggerations and diminishments. My generation has them. The generation before me has them. And your generation has them too. One of the things that you guys really need to think about is that the generation that precedes you feels like if someone disagrees with them, like the world is completely over. That's a really dangerous place to be. As a matter of fact, the generation before you, if they were to rewrite the Ten Commandments, commandment number one would be, you shall not offend. And I want you to think about the strategic role, not of being a jerk for Jesus, but the strategic role of offense. If you don't have someone in your life, and you don't have a group of people in your life who are willing to tell you the truth, you're often in a very, very dangerous place. So when we talk about sexuality, a lot of times, quote unquote, church hurt is around sexuality, but we have to think through this, okay? We got to think through this. We got to really think through, are we being hurt because someone is exaggerating or diminishing the truth around sexuality? Are we just being hurt because someone told us the truth and we didn't want to hear it? And have we developed some type of a culture to where we're no longer capable of hearing the truth, processing through the truth, and working with it? So about 12 years ago, 15 years ago, I took my mother to the doctor. And she was having blood in her urine, and she had all the CAT scans and all that type of stuff. And what ended up happening is she got diagnosed with bladder cancer. And my mother was in total denial, and the urologist says, you have bladder cancer, and you have two options. Option number one, we do nothing, and you'll live a year. Option number two, we do the surgery and give you chemo, and you might survive. My mother was born in 1931, so this was all new to her. Like, I remember showing her, like, FaceTime, and she freaked out, right? She was, like, freaking out. How am I seeing Ezra in that picture? How's that happening? This is like Star Trek. Needless to say, my mother was offended at the doctor, and she left, and she says, I'm not getting the surgery. He doesn't know what he's talking about. She thought it was because of the mints she was eating. Like, she's like, I'm going to stop eating the mints, and it's because of this grocery store I'm shopping at, and if I stop, it'll go away. She was really offended. And the family had to gather around her and say, Mom, he's just telling you the truth. And you can be offended, but you can be offended and die. So the truth is, you have bladder cancer. We took her to another specialist. He confirmed it and said, yeah, the timeline's true. You got about a year if you do nothing. She ended up getting the chemo and living another 15, 16 years or so. But we've got to get to the point where we're not so freaked out when people say the truth. And we're not so, like, overly victimized when someone tells us the truth, that we're able to absorb it and say, hey, it is what it is, all right? Okay, so church, what should you do about it? You should heal. If you right now are sitting here and you're like, you know what? I actually have a wound from church. You need to get that healed. You say, well, what's my first step? I talk about it. You probably should talk to your parents first. Then you should find someone in a green shirt, maybe, and talk to them, and we should get you on the roll to being healed. Sometimes it means you need some therapy and some counseling. You need some concentrated time where you need to go in there and really get healed. That's what you need. That's just reality. Sometimes that happens. Because sometimes you get hurt, and it's hard to trust again. It's hard to believe, and you need to work through that. Because if you don't work through it, it's going to bite you. And if you think, no, this is just church, my solution is I'll leave the church, you're going to take that hurt everywhere you go. And anytime something like that happens, you'll be triggered, and it'll get you.